From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We welcome you to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As he continues this series of studies of the Book of Judges, Dr. Cairns brings the final portion of a message entitled Indications of Revival. In Chapter 6 of the book, we see an all-too-familiar pattern. 40 years after the victories of Deborah, Barak, and Jael, the children of Israel forsook the Lord. Deceived by sin, they fell under the cruel bondage of the Midianites. In the course of the chapter, God raised up Gideon, the greatest of the judges. It was a black time in the nation's history, but God had a man for the hour. The opening verses of the chapter reveal the necessary steps to deliverance and true revival. In response to the cries of Israel, God first sent a prophet to call them back to himself. As Dr. Cairns has pointed out, the ordained signs of revival are heartfelt prayer and the preaching of God's word. It was following the powerful preaching that God sent the blessing. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. First, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought from Faith's Checkbook, a collection from the pen of the great 19th century preacher C.H. Spurgeon. Today's devotional is entitled Mark of Covenant Grace. The text is Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 6. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed, to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that thou mayest live. Here we read of the true circumcision. Note the author of it, the Lord thy God. He alone can deal effectually with our heart and take away its carnality and pollution. To make us love God with all our heart and soul is a miracle of grace which only the Holy Ghost can work. We must look to the Lord alone for this and never be satisfied with anything short of it. Note where this circumcision is wrought. It is not of the flesh, but of the Spirit. It is the essential mark of the covenant of grace. Love to God is the indelible token of the chosen seed. By this secret seal, the election of grace is certified to the believer. We must see to it that we trust in no outward ritual, but are sealed in heart by the operation of the Holy Ghost. Note what the result is, that thou mayest live. To be carnally minded is death. In the overcoming of the flesh we find life and peace. If we mind the things of the Spirit, we shall live. Oh, that Jehovah, our God, may complete his gracious work upon our inner natures, that in the fullest and highest sense we may live unto the Lord.
Be and quicken from thy
From time to time here on Let the Bible Speak, we've called attention to Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions, such as, why did Christ have to be born a man? Why does God allow suffering? What is the unpardonable sin? And what's wrong with same-sex marriage? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such questions. All of these video clips have been available on the ltbsradio.com website. But we're also pleased to make available a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 20th century Christian. You may have a copy of the DVD Q&A with Alan Cairns free of charge simply by requesting it. You may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Or you may simply email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day.
Before the Lord sent Gideon, he sent a prophet. The preparatory work is done when the word of God is used to plow up the hearts of the people of God. Jeremiah tells us and Hosea tells us that we are to break up our fallow ground. We are to get the plow of the Word of God into the hearts that have lain fallow for too long. We're to get God's Word to break through the solid crust of earth that we have built up around us. We're to get the Word of God down where it touches our conscience, where this prophet of the Lord will come and remind us of the redeeming grace of God. Bring us back to the point where we ought never to have left. The point where the Lord says, I brought you out of Egypt. I brought you out of the house of bondage. We need the voice of the prophet again to call the people of God back to their first experience of redeeming grace. And then we need the voice of the prophet to remind us, ye have not obeyed me. New argument. Oh, we would say, well, we're not in that stage. We have sought to obey the Lord. Yes, I must say we do. Mostly as long as it's comfortable. The great thing about American Christianity today is it must be comfortable. Must be entertaining. Must be easy on the flesh. That is the overriding mark that's now upon our professing churches and upon our Bible-believing churches. It's a great meeting because the singing's good. Now, I like good singing. I certainly appreciate the singing of the church here. Even though a Baptist church sometimes can sing as well, and if they're two or three times their size, they can even sing a bit better. But that's just because they had a Free Presbyterian or two among them. We really enjoy the good singing. But a service isn't a good service just because you've got good singing. If Ed and Joan were to get to these instruments here, and of course all the rest of them as well, but if these two folks were to get there and say they were going to play for the rest of the night, you could sing all you want in there. I'd be in here to listen to them. I could listen to them all day and all night. But with respect to them, with all their wonderful talent, that does not make a good service. We can fill every seat in the building. That would not make it a good service. The only thing that makes a service a good service is when God the Holy Spirit comes down into our midst, when the author of this book takes up the book and starts applying it to the hearts of those who have gathered to meet the needs that are represented here and uses the cutting edge of the sword of the Spirit in order to touch us and cut us where we need to be cut. And only that's going to make it a good service, for only then can He lead us to Christ. Only then can He show us the Savior. Only then can He revitalize us, recharge our batteries, as it were, and send us forth to serve the Lord Christ. The faithful preaching. That's why in this church we do have a desire to see young men called of God go out to preach the Word of God in the power of the Holy Spirit. America's greatest need is preachers. I was just thinking before I came to the service. I usually have a late night on a Saturday night. I must have been very organized the last 2 weeks. It hasn't been quite as bad as usual, but very often I'll be getting off to bed at 3 o'clock on Sunday morning. So to make sure I have some thinking ability for Sunday evening, I normally have a little snooze. For part of a Sabbath afternoon, I get my brain cells rested and get my eyes opened again in time for the service. And I was sort of in a daydream not long before it was time to come to church. And I got to thinking, I'm not going to be too specific because I don't want merely to be identifying a particular church. But I got to thinking of a church whose story was carried in the press, where the new minister came with his wife, who was also the new minister, the Reverend Mr. and the Reverend Mrs. And the excuse for the woman pastor was that she had a degree in counseling. And you see, she would bring a woman's tenderness and a woman's perspective to the ministry. And I thought for a moment, that's not the ministry of the Church of Christ. Oh yes, to help people. Church is there to help people. Surely it's there to help people. The church is there to hurt and to help. Sometimes you've got to do the one before you can do the other. But let me put it to you. It is not there to do it by psychological counseling. A church is not fulfilling its ministry if it merely makes people feel better. The church's ministry is a preaching ministry. There's a great return in many evangelical churches to liturgy. Now, there was a time when the ancient liturgy fulfilled a very, very useful purpose. You imagine yourself in a church where many people couldn't even read. The liturgical form of service, the reading of the Word of God publicly, became very, very important. Not only so, imagine yourself in a service where there would only be one copy of the Scriptures. And again, the use of the liturgy becomes very, very important. But it is natural to the mind of man, when you keep doing the same thing week after week after week after week after week, you fossilize that thing. I was recently in a liturgical service. And anything more dead, you couldn't think. Not that there was anything wrong with the words of Scripture that were being cited. But you can cite words about life in a mortuary. I remember being in a Salvation Army meeting in Michigan. Now, I was saved in the Salvation Army. I remember the Salvation Army when it had great preachers. I still look back to one of the earliest exposures I had to a real firebrand of a preacher, a powerful preacher. He was a Salvation Army officer. I remember the Corps Sergeant Major was one of the strictest, most upstanding and outstanding Christian gentlemen I have ever known, whose testimony rang true. When they talked about holiness, they knew what they were talking about. But I went to hear this young Salvation Army officer. And there he was, and it wasn't a liturgy, but it may as well have been. He was going over all the same statements. He was using the language of William Booth. He was using the language of Commissioner Brangle. He was using the language of all the great Salvation Army stalwarts. And it was obvious that it was just as if somebody, like myself, had learned a few words in Japanese and got up and parroted them, but they meant no more to me than any other sounds that an animal would make. That's exactly the way it was. There's nothing to it. In evangelical churches, as I say, they're getting back to this liturgical form, using words that no longer mean anything to them. They're getting away from the preaching. Let me say, there is a lack of worship in many fundamentalist churches. That's a sad thing. If you can go into a service and you are not aware that you've met with God, the service has been in vain, as far as you're concerned. I have been in services. When I go on vacation, I'll go to a fundamentalist church if I can find one there. And I've been there where there's been no sense of God, no sense of Christ, no mention of Christ, no mention of the gospel, no exposition of the word, and it has been a shame and a disgrace to the name of the denomination that had its name up outside. But the answer to that is not liturgy. The answer to that is preaching. The central act of the worship of the Protestant church is the preaching of the Word of God. What America needs today more than anything else is a race of preachers. That's our burden, to see God send young men out who preach. That's The first sign of revival, if God starts calling men to preach, he has a purpose of good, he has a purpose of grace, he has a purpose of blessing. If God stops calling men to preach, then you've got to worry. When there's a famine for the hearing of the word of God, when God cuts off the source of the message, then he has a purpose of judgment for a people. It is certainly an ill day in America when you look across the nation and you think of what is in the pulpits in so many places. When God cuts off preachers, remember, we're in deep, deep trouble. But when the Lord starts sending preachers, it's the first sign of revival. And the other sign was this, but this we're through. In verse 11, the heavens were opened. There came an angel of the Lord and sat under the oak which was in Ophrah. The heavens were opened. In Isaiah 64, oh, that thou wouldst rend the heavens, that thou wouldst come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. There you have the essence of revival. Heaven opened. Ezekiel said that as he was among the captives, verse 1 of his first chapter, among the captives by the river Kabar, he saw heaven opened and he saw visions of God. Malachi 3:10 gives us that sweet and wonderful promise. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord, if I will not open to you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, there will not be room enough to contain it. The indication of revival. First the preaching, and second the heavens opened that we begin to obtain visions of our God. You'll find that when the church is in deep distress and God is chastising her backsliding, she has no deep personal heart experience of the greatness of the God she proclaims. She uses words, but there is no heart experience of the greatness of God. It is an indication for good, for any local congregation, for any denomination, or for the church of whatever name, across the whole nation. It is a token for good when the Lord begins to move among them and to give visions of his greatness and of his glory. You see, the indication of revival is the word preached and the word incarnate, glorified. When you see Jesus, you can say the work of revival has begun. May the Lord indeed tonight give us the indication, the initial signs of a purpose of grace, convicting us of our sin, failure, backsliding, coldness, deadness, whatever it may be. And as he cuts our heart and conscience by the word, conduct us to Christ, open up the heavens, and let us see visions of God. May the Lord do that for us, and give us indeed the signs of a great abundance of his blessing in the days to come.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.